In Play Radio, from hockey to hockey, we've got it covered.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Darts Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by John Gwynn to look ahead to the action. We're in the knockout stages now of the William Hill Grand Slam of Darts. The action really hotting up. We've got four games coming up on Wednesday evening and four on Thursday evening. We're going to look at all of those, as well as looking back at the group stages and assessing what's gone on so far. Good morning, John. How's things?
All right, Alex. Yes, the contest starts in earnest now. I'm not saying that the players weren't giving their all before, but once you know that you're in a situation where you lose, you're out, you win, you're through, it does become more sort of exciting, doesn't it? And it's much more poignant, the outcome.
Indeed. We've seen, obviously, in the group stages, you can afford to have one bad game, can't you?
Yes, and recover, because it's the top two that in each group that go through. Nearly everybody who's gone through in second place will have lost a game. That's a fact. And so therefore, yes, that does apply. And there aren't many competitions where you can lose a game and still go on to win it. And you can actually lose against somebody whom you meet later in the competition again and beat them. Mm. Some people would say, well, that's rather strange. But, of course, that happens in other sports as well, and where you have group stages and then ultimately a knockout. So it's no different in that sense. And I think it's a great competition. I think it's wonderful that players can be given a second chance.
Yes. I mean, in terms of big names that we've lost in the group stages, they don't come a great deal bigger than Raymond van Barneveld, who, of course, looked in a pretty commanding position, having won his first two games, but lost to Mervyn King and just slipped out of the first two qualifying places.
Yes, and I thought King was excellent that night. I thought Barney was just a little lacklustre, and he resigned to his fate. But this leg's difference obviously does matter, and that's why when you've got somebody on the rope, say at 3-0 or 3-1, you don't take your foot off the pedal, you get stuck in, you make sure you win by as many as possible, because that leg's difference can make a difference in the end, and it certainly did in Barney's case.
Mm. In terms of other sort of big names that we've lost, not many other huge shocks, I'd say. Dave Chisnell, you know, three defeats from three games. You'd title that as a bit of shock in a group that he'd have thought you might have a good chance of getting out of.
Yes, I was disappointed for Dave Chisnell, and in Dave Chisnell, because he's a wonderful player. He won the German Open not that long ago with some brilliant darts, and seemed to have got himself back on an even keel after a bit of a bad spell. But his form's in and out at the moment, and it's his confidence. And the thing I notice about Chizzy is he is a great snatcher of darts when he's tentative and uncertain of himself, and that's always a sign to his opponent as well that he's struggling. Mm. Yeah, he'll be back.
Oh yeah, of course. And of the action that you've seen so far, what would you say was the standout game?
The standout game? Well, I think in the end you would have to say Whitlock and Wes Newton, because the way that panned out, the 5-4 win for Whitlock meant that they went into that 9-dart shootout. And the 9-dart shootout was similar to the penalty shootouts. Now, whether you like penalty shootouts or not, they're exciting, aren't they? Well, for me, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned the last time I spoke to you before the start of the tournament that you found it hard to look past Phil Taylor at the head of the betting. As things stand, with 16 of them left, he remains at the head of affairs at 8-11. Not a huge price change, but I'd imagine you'll still stick with him here, John. But I'm just looking at Michael van Gerwen at 11-2, and I know he's not in the form of his life at the minute, but that could be a very big price, couldn't it?
He can soon hit the form of his life. He's that kind of player, and so can the player he's due to play in the last 16, Adrian Lewis. But, Michael van Gerwen will suddenly find a streak of fine form and then maintain it for a long time, because every dart player plays off confidence. Confidence breeds better play, and that breeds confidence, which breeds better play. And Michael van Gerwen's perhaps one of the players who's most illustrative of that. When he's really flowing in at his best, nobody better to watch. Yeah, 11-2 will represent good value for some, and I dare say there's still such a thing as each way betting with 16 in the field, and that might be the worthwhile bet, to have van Gerwen each way, having already backed Phil Taylor to win it. And if they meet in the final, well, you're not a winner.
Exactly. A third of the odds for the first two places.
So you're going to make a profit, even if he's beaten in the final.
Okay. Great stuff, John. We'll move now on to the games that are taking place on Wednesday evening. Then we'll look at Thursday's action. And the first game on Wednesday is Scott Waites against Mark Webster. 8-15 for Waites, who's been impressive so far. And Webster, 6-4.
Yes, this is Scott Waites' competition, isn't it? I know he's world champion in the BDO. And that not before time, in fairness. But Waites loves Wolverhampton. And I'm very pleased to see Mark Webster qualify and come through. Mark Webster's one of the nicest players on the circuit. He is a real gentleman, really nice lad, quiet, unassuming, a former world champion himself, who's had a dreadful 18 months, 2 years. And we all remember him in the Premier League, and it's really since that abysmal run in the Premier League that his confidence, and I keep coming back to that word, has totally drained. Great to see Mark Webster in the last 16. Webster will give a very good account of himself against Waites, but somehow I just think the extra scoring power of Waites, I just think that the fact that he loves Wolverhampton so much will put Waites into the last eight. I'm taking Scott Waites to win this by 10-6.
Okay then, 10-6 to Waites, the pick there in the opener. The next one that we'll look at is Tony O'Shea against Andy Hamilton. Another reasonably tight betting heat. Tony O'Shea 6-4 and Andy Hamilton at 8-15.
Yes, always nice to see Tony O'Shea. He's a good mate of mine. I think I've said before I played in the same Super League as Tony when he was a young man, and I wasn't quite as young as him. And that was many years ago, and he's gone on to great things, and I'm so pleased to see him doing well. It's a cracking game between him and Andy Hamilton. It's Stockport against Stoke, and I just have a feeling that Hamilton, now we've got the longer format, will just grind Tony down a bit, and I'm going to take the hammer, reluctantly, to win by 10-8.
Okay then, Hamilton the pick there. The third game that we'll look at is Robert Thornton taking on Mervyn King. Thornton in at 4-7, Mervyn King at 11-8.
And there is where you might get the real value. We talk about real value in this. That is a 5-6, 5-6. And if anything, the way King's been throwing, I would suggest that perhaps the odds are the wrong way round. So you really got to weigh in on 11-8 for King. He's certainly at worst even money. And I would say, or at best even money, I should say, for my money. And therefore, 11-8 is an absolute must. I'm taking King to win this by 10-7.
OK, Mervyn King, a pretty confident selection there. The final game on Wednesday evening is Simon Whitlock against Ted Hankey. Whitlock at 1-5 and Hankey at 7-2. Do you think this will be as easy as the market's suggesting?
No, I don't. I like Ted a lot, you know. I was with him only last weekend doing an exhibition down in Hampshire. And a great character, lovely lad. And he does have his moments, we know. And I'm again, I'm so pleased that Ted's doing well now, because he's had a rough time. Some of these bad spells that players have are rather self-inflicted. They don't practice hard enough. They seem sometimes to think that it'll just happen, and it doesn't. You still have to practice, no matter how good you are. But Simon Whitlock got the bit between his teeth in the group stages, and he is a real, real determined character. And I think it's going to be that touch of added class as well with the Australian. Ted's not quite the player he was. And I'm taking Whitlock to go through to the quarterfinals by 10 legs to 5.
OK, then. We'll move now on to Thursday's action. We'll kick things off with one of the most eye-catching games of the round, if nothing else, in name only. The Hybrex brothers come up against each other. Ronnie is 12-5 and Kim at 1-3.
Yes, well, of course the pundits will say, well, Hybrex will win this without any shadow of doubt, and of course they can't be wrong. But it is fascinating, isn't it? Kim is the one who initially came onto the scene, and it's his elder brother Ronnie who actually followed him some time later, and much to his and Kim's surprise, has done really, really well. But Kim is the recognised senior player in terms of quality, if not in age, and therefore I think he will set aside family differences or family issues and win this by 10-6.
Okay, then, Kim, the pick there in the first game that we're looking at on Thursday. Next up, Phil Taylor takes on Gary Anderson. Taylor, of course, the favourite for the William Hill Grand Slam of Darts, and he's in at 1-8 to beat Gary Anderson. Anderson at 5-1.
Yes, it's a repeat of the final of 2 years ago. Both players threw extremely well. Anderson averaged 104, but Taylor averaged around 109, I think it was, and beat him 16-4. So Gary Anderson has had a bad spell as well, and certainly his confidence will have grown during the course of this week in qualifying, but he's got an unenviable task. The power at the moment is really, really firing on all cylinders. Anderson at his very, very best can beat anybody. But over 19 legs, I just have a feeling that Phil Taylor, the mood he's in, will just take him apart, frankly. I think it's 10-3, 10-4.
Okay, then, an emphatic victory for Phil Taylor, the pick there. The next game that we'll look at is James Wade against Paul Nicholson. Wade at 1-3 and Nicholson at 12-5.
Yes, a little bit of an enigma, James Wade. At the moment, he seems to be able to win his games, but he's knuckling down. His darts are going in. Paul Nicholson is a player, of course, who in the past has met Wade, I remember, in a World Championship quarterfinal. And it was probably the worst World Championship quarterfinal we've had in 10 years in terms of the averages and the quality. But all I can say is that these two will certainly give their all. I just think James Wade, in the end, has too many guns for Nicholson. It wouldn't be a major shock if Nicholson won, but I think it would be difficult for James Wade to come to terms with being beaten by Paul Nicholson. I think Wade will win it 10-7.
Okay, then, the final game that we'll look at is arguably the pick of the round. Michael Van Gerwen against Adrian Lewis. We've saved the best to last. Van Gerwen at 8-13 and Lewis at 13-10.
Where'd you get the word arguably from? Because nobody would argue with your statement that it's the best in the round.
Oh, good.
Yes, Van Gerwen against Lewis. No argument at all. This is the one that everybody will want to watch. And the difficulty with this one is that they are both capable of brilliant, brilliant errors. And we might see one of the great Grand Slam classics. We've had a few in the 7 years. This is the seventh staging of the competition. We've had a few classics. This could be one. On the other hand, games like this often can be sadly disappointing and not live up to the billing. But I think that Van Gerwen and Lewis will turn it on. I really don't know for certain which player at the moment has what it takes to give that 105, 107 average, which would almost certainly win him the game. I say almost certainly. It's possible they both have. Whichever one does, I think, have the higher average, will go through. And that doesn't always happen, you know. I'm taking Van Gerwen, but I wouldn't put my shirt on it, let's put it that way. I'm taking Van Gerwen by 10 legs to 8.
Okay, 10-8 to MVG there in the final game that we're looking at. Brilliant stuff, John. We'll catch up with you later on in the week ahead of the next round. Good luck with all those picks. Above all, enjoy the action. Some great games to look forward to. And as I said, we'll catch up soon.
Thanks very much, Alex. Good luck, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.